What if planet Earth is just the escape pod from an even bigger planet? Why can't I reheat rice? All these questions you can find the answer to on
This Paranormal Life!
Yo!
Hey!
Welcome to another episode of This Paranormal Life, the weekly comedy podcast where every week we investigate a different paranormal tale, case, or claim and try and get to the bottom of whether it's truly paranormal or not. As always, you are joined by myself, Mr. Kickroom Olvena, this guy across from me, Mr. Rory Pars. How are you doing today, Rory?
I'm doing just great, Kit. Good to be back. We had a little hiatus where, like Bruno himself, I went to the Dark Land. And I didn't learn a lot, I'll be honest with you. But it is very nice to be back in the Paranormal Studios. And I'm ready. I'm ready to dive back into the world of spooky creatures and cryptids.
But that's right. We are back. And as always, we have a brand new investigation to dive right into. So thank you right off the top to Sam Wood for sending this one in to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com.
I knew Sam Wood.
You did? You knew?
I knew he would send it in.
Oh, I thought you meant like you knew him as a person.
Well, I also knew him as a person and I knew that he would do it. Because right before I pulled the trigger, I said, make sure you send the email.
He's dead.
He is dead. Yeah. I knew him and I knew that he would die.
This was his last words. Like, it actually says in the email here, tell my wife and kids that I love them. And here's a dope tip for an episode.
Thank you. Thank you.
Our story today takes us to Sunnyvale, California, in what might be our first This Paranormal Life investigation in Silicon Valley.
Ooh.
Which, let's face it, is long overdue. You know those tech nerds behind all that Woody Allen shit are secretly developing alien technologies.
Oh, hell yeah. We've talked about haunted film sets before. It's only a matter of time where you track the trail of ectoplasm and find the source.
Exactly. Are you trying to tell me that you're going to sell your company for $1 billion and you're not going to try and like reanimate ancient Egyptian mummies or some shit?
Of course.
You're going to try and put that money to good use. So we're in Sunnyvale, California, although today we're not here to talk about Silicon Valley. It's 2007 and Lucy Rogers is up early. She's up even before her alarm clock because today is important. It's her first day at her new job at the Toys R Us store on El Camino Real.
Ooh, all right.
So she drives over there and parks outside, excited to meet everyone and put in a great first day. And when she goes inside, she meets her new boss.
Hi, you must be Mark. I'm Lucy, the new sales assistant.
Yes. You must be the fresh blood.
Nice to meet you too. Is there somewhere I can leave my things? I heard there's a uniform.
So young and full of life. This job changes you, you know, Lucy.
Well, yeah, I mean, from unemployed to employed, for sure, that's a great start.
Sure, but other changes, too. Look around you, Lucy. You see Greg over there?
Yeah.
He used to be full of life and joyful like you.
Can I just... Is there, like, a station?
Now he's blind in one eye.
So, am I, like, in toys or games? Because it seems like it's broken down into departments.
It's all a game, really, Lucy. All of this.
Are you
everything you see in front of you?
Are you my boss?
Me? Oh God, no! I'll go get him now. I'm just here to pick up a super soaker for my daughter. Yes, of course I'm your boss, Lucy. Jesus, there's a cloakroom over there. Leave your things and get to work.
So a little weirded out, but fine. Lucy learned some of the ropes and got to work. She's stocking some dolls in one aisle. Specifically those weird dolls that can piss. Do you remember these dolls?
Yeah.
She's my real baby born.
Good morning, baby born. Let's go on your potty. Oops, she poops.
There was a weird porn in history where people were borderline obsessed with creating the most realistic dolls. To the point where it was borderline not fun anymore. I had a doll that pissed. And you had to feed it as berries as well, like every 30 minutes, or it cried.
Well, where did the berries go? That's what I want to know. 20 years later, I don't know.
They kind of nailed it with Furbies.
Right.
Because they were like wacky. Yeah, they required some attention, but you could also kind of like chuck them in a closet.
Yeah.
Shut that thing up. And it was fine.
Yeah.
Whereas,
on some level, the Furby knew it was a Furby. Whereas these dolls were kind of like in the uncanny valley territory.
Yeah. At one point, it was just borderline a secret operation to create artificial babies. I think they shit at one point. I think there was one that had like a diaper.
No. I remember the pissing baby, but I don't remember the shitting baby.
I'm going to Google. That might be too far, but I'm going to Google.
Well, yeah. What's the... Got to be careful.
Yeah. Freaking hell. Baby alive whoopsie doll do. Whoopsie doodle.
Whoopsie doll. Oh my God.
Feed this amazing lifelike doll that eats and shits.
See, the thing, like, I remember this.
This is immortal. This is a mortal being. At what point is it not alive?
They're just shipping children that need adopted to other children's homes.
If it looks, look, this is Roy Bauer's golden rule, all right? Okay. If it looks like a human and it eats and shits like a human, it's a human, folks. You are now legally responsible to raise that child.
I need to know Rory's silver and bronze rules, if that's the golden one. The f***ed up thing is, I remember being a kid and those dolls ads being on TV. And I remember even as a kid being like, this is pretty messed up. Why does anyone need a doll that pisses and shits?
It's really strange, isn't it? I think there's just an obsession with some people at a young age to just like be a grown-up. That's quite a grown-up thing to do, is have a baby.
Listen, I'd love to be out there playing in the yard with my mom and dad, but listen, I got a young one here and they're pissing and shitting every 5 minutes. It's not normal. And you know some of those baby dolls were defective and they whoopsie-dooed in the store before anyone bought them.
Here's a pretty great 3-star review by K. Cole for the, what did I call this? The whoopsie-doo poo doll?
The baby alive whoopsie-doo doll.
K. Cole, 29th of January, 2010. Can't get her to poop. K. Cole wrote, this is a cute doll and fun. My 7-year-old likes her a lot, but she doesn't poop. It's gross.
That's a good thing.
You've gotten the golden child. He says, it's gross, and I know it's gross, but that's why my daughter wanted it. She will pee for you all day long. But even with the special juice, we've never been able to make her poop. I really hope that the special juice is something that comes with the doll and it's not something that
they drink. Is that just coffee? It makes you
poop. Calls coffee the special juice.
Don't feed a baby special juice. I mean, it's worryingly close to special brew, which is a beer that pretty much exclusively only homeless people drink.
Even with a venti cup of special juice, this baby will not shit.
A Trenti ice special juice.
This baby's like a basketball of iced coffee at this point, and it can't poop. It's like crying latte.
She's sooner gonna explode than poop a single nug.
Before it learns to poop, it can learn to talk, to say please, no more special juice. Dolls were weird, man. Dolls were weird.
Which is what Lucy realized as she stocked the shelves of Toys R Us. So the store is pretty quiet at this point, and she's stocking these boxes of dolls when she feels a breeze blow on her back. She turns around to see if someone left a door open that she could shut, but not only was there no door, but there was no window. It was just her and the aisle. Weird. She goes back to being busy until she hears,
Lucy!
She turns, and as there's no one on her aisle, her boss must need her at the checkout or something. But when she gets there, it's clear that no one called for her. And in fact, there was no one anywhere near her aisle in the first place. So she walks back to the aisle with the dolls that can piss and she stops dead. Hold up. The dolls she had been stacking on shelves were not back exactly where they had started, in their shipping box on the ground.
Oh, I don't like this.
It was as if she had never started stocking them in the first place. Freaked out, she walked quickly to the nearest bathroom to maybe splash some water on her face, try and wake herself up a bit. Had she really slept that badly that she was just imagining things? After washing her hands, she dried them, looked at herself in the mirror, and headed for the door. Right as she reached to open the bathroom door, she heard something behind her. It was running water. When she looked around, she saw in the three sinks, every tap was now running wide open. They had turned themselves on. Enough was enough. She had to work out what was happening. So she found her boss on the shop floor. He was showing someone all the different kinds of Tamagotchis.
Mr. Lazarus, sir, do you have a moment?
Funny, isn't it? The games we play.
What?
A Tamagotchi's only purpose is to eat, poop, and die. They're just like us, Lucy, the Tamagotchi. Death awaits us all.
Sir, some weird stuff has been happening since I got here. Firstly, the taps just turned on all on their own, and then...
I know, Lucy. Everyone here knows. Didn't you know? This Toys R Us is haunted!
I'm assuming she didn't know.
Presumably she didn't need the job that badly. She wouldn't have taken the job.
I guess as far as haunted and cursed locations to work, you know, a Toys R Us...
It's up there.
That's on the safe side of things, I would say.
What's the bad side of haunted locations?
Jesus.
Prison? Oil rig?
Yeah. I mean, a regular prison's I guess you just think of a bad place to be anyway, and then just add curse to
it. It's just
a
multiplier. It makes it that much worse.
Exactly.
Say, like, a graveyard keeper in the first place? Yeah. Sure. Throw cursed in there.
Yeah. Buried alive, but also
that's not
there's
a job
ghost.
Though. That's just a thing that happens to you.
Stabbed and haunted is pretty bad as well. But I guess, you know, a haunted Toys R Us, worst case scenario, those toys are coming to life.
I mean, yes, you're working for minimum wage. So as long as the ghosts don't take some of your salary, that would really push you into a bad situation.
I think it's all about positioning. If you're in a cursed Toys R Us, head straight to the plushies, my friend.
Yeah.
Head straight to the beanbag chairs.
You don't need to be in the pissing, shitting, baby alive, whoopsie doo dolls.
Don't go to whoopsie poo doll. Stay away from the rock'em sock'em robots. They will knock you the hell out.
For the love of God, stay away from the Beyblades because
Jesus,
a couple guys didn't make it back from that shift. What we're dealing with here is a very real, very haunted Toys R Us store in Northern California. Obviously, to protect the anonymity of Lucy Rogers, I made her up. But everything that happened to Lucy, from the moving toys to hearing voices and the running taps, these are all real claims and testimonies from staff members at this Toys R Us store. And a crazy amount of staff members have these stories. Several female employees complained that it sometimes felt like an invisible being was playing with their hair.
Oh, that's awful.
Other staff talked about children's books falling off racks, balls bouncing down the aisles out of nowhere, and swing sets swinging on their own.
You know what the weird thing is? These are all things that happen in the Toy Story movies. But because we get to see all the toys chatting and having a fun time, it's like a really funny thing, you know, that like the humans come into the room and all the toys are just lying there like they've been at a town hall meeting.
That's so true.
But it's like if you cut those movies to all the bits where the toy, where it's
just from
the
human perspective.
They're horror movies. Like
Andy's mom puts the bag of toys in the garage and then suddenly the toys are back in the room.
Woody's in your backpack. Like if you're walking.
With just wide open staring eyes. Why do you always do those creepy eyes?
That moment where you felt like someone was tugging on your hair, that was Buzz Lightyear swinging across the aisles. That's a very playful scene in Toy
it's
Story.
Hilarious.
That's great.
Spanish Buzz Lightyear, hilarious.
In real life, you're going to scar these people for life.
That's a fantastic point. I didn't think of this from a Toy Story perspective, which is really where we should be coming from in future.
That was always a funny kind of thing that I thought about in those movies was like they made a huge part in the first Toy Story to kind of like highlight how creepy the toys were that Sid made.
Oh yeah.
Sid, like where he was making like, you know, it was like a baby's head with spider legs,
oh, yeah.
Like mishmash Frankenstein toys, and Woody and Buzz and everyone were like, oh my God, y'all are freaks.
Yeah.
When in reality,
If Andy had come in and seen Woody with his lasso on the bed, he would have kicked the shit out of that little cowboy. You know, they're not any better than the weird toys. Any living toy is going to die.
It's a mistake. That's right.
It's an absolute, it's a curse. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, like the toys have age ranges on them. You know, they'll have bought Woody because he said ages 2 to 8. If they had known it was an animate, living, breathing, talking man trapped in a toy, that thing would not be suitable for 2-year-olds. No way. So yeah, a bunch of weird things going on in the store. One real member of staff, called O'Brien, had been working there for 18 years. When she was interviewed in 2007, she said, "Many people have experiences, not just one or two of us. He's like Casper. Nothing he ever does hurt anybody. The folks at Toys R Us have tried to explain it logically, but they can't." O'Brien even claims to have seen the ghost once, when a young man in his 20s or 30s, wearing underwear, a long-sleeved shirt, and a tweed cap, walked past her and she heard the sound of galloping horses.
Ooh.
Another employee called Lisa said, "It's a good ghost. It's fun here."
Positive spin, Lisa. I like it.
And the paranormal phenomena is extremely varied, from taps to moving toys to apparently some workmen were waxing the store's floor when every aisle they went to, a teddy bear kept following them and just like was lying at the end of the aisle.
Ooh.
Apparently aisle 15C is notorious, right between the Mickey Mouse toys and the Batman toothbrushes. It permanently smells of garden flowers.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Right off the bat, Roy, hearing some of this varied phenomena, like I said, what are your instincts as an investigator?
I mean, varied is the word I want to highlight in that sentence, because, you know, we had this teed up as a haunted Toys R Us, but at one point in those personnel interviews, they referred to he, the ghost, as if the phenomenon that was taking place there was a very singular thing. It's a male figure. So it's interesting to see so many things going wrong, but also the understanding that it could just be one entity causing all this trouble, which does make sense.
Yeah.
You know, because all the other things, you know, toys being unpacked, the taps being turned on, if we're talking about a ghost or a spirit here, that could be him just going around messing with people, trying to freak them out a little bit. We haven't seen, like, you know, God forbid, a drone flying itself through the store, or like, I don't know, a Stretch Armstrong strangling an employee from the shelves. That would be, you know, then we're really dealing with something else.
We're really dealing with an R-rated Toy Story movie
for sure
gone out of control.
You need to start looking up the history of the ground you built this Toys R Us on, because there's something bigger at play.
So one of the craziest features of this paranormal case is that it goes way back, a full 50 years all the way to the store's initial opening in the 1970s. There are stories of contractors brought in to do work on the property who ran away refusing to finish the job because of something they saw move inside. Needless to say, after so many years of continuous haunting, it didn't take long for paranormal investigators to get involved. In the late 70s, a TV investigation brought psychic medium Sylvia Brown to El Camino Real to see the toy store and try and make contact with the dead. And make contact she did. Sylvia was able to communicate and see the ghost, where she got his name, Jan Jonny Jonsson, a Swedish preacher. I'm sorry, is something funny, Rory?
Jan Jonny Jonsson?
Jan Jonny Jonsson.
Is something funny? Yeah.
This immediately...
well, it's thrown a loop in everything.
This brought up more questions than it answered, clearly. But
when you shut the spell book and leave, you're not going to end up finding anything
just
good.
Just move the Toys R Us. It's not suitable for children, obviously. Jan Jonny Jonsson isn't going anywhere. It's been 50 years.
You'd almost rather it be the spirit of Jeffrey the Giraffe than someone called Jan Jonny Jonsson.
However, Sylvia was able to get a surprising amount of information from this visit. She learned that Jan had come to California from Sweden in the 1800s, and on arrival here, would work for room and board in the local farm owned by a family called the Murphys. Sylvia worked out that Jan fell in love with the Murphy's beautiful daughter Elizabeth. But that love was unrequited, and she instead married a lawyer, and he never saw her again, leaving him brokenhearted.
I'm really hoping that toys are going to work their way into this story.
Then, one day, as Jan was chopping wood, his axe slipped and gouged his leg, causing him to bleed out right there on the farm.
Oh, shit.
The land which he has been roaming ever since. The land which Sylvia believed has become Silicon Valley's premium location to buy toys.
Wow, okay.
No toy relation at all.
That's
story,
a shame,
actually.
But that makes more sense, probably.
Does that story make sense to you in any way?
I think so. You know what? There were two ways that that was going to play out. And one was going to be that she married a lawyer and stole all of his toys. So now he roams the store looking for deals on the hottest toys. That's probably the bad way it could have gone.
Sure.
It makes a lot more sense and shows a lot more parallels to previous investigations that we've done for it to be that this was the plot of land where befell this misfortune. Because that's what we see in pretty much all of our haunting cases. Stone memory, as we like to call it, where the memories and tragedies of the deceased bleed into the environment.
I think we call it rock theory or stone theory.
Either one is a great name for a heavy metal band.
It's so true.
So this is good. This is, you know, we're right on the track of investigating where we're finding out a reason for it. Now we're at the point where we need to get some evidence for it.
It's a miracle that we're not at the double no territory just yet.
Already.
The up thing was, a lot of this story is real. The store really is built on what was old farmland, land that a Murphy family lived on. They were a famous Irish immigrant family, very beloved, influential, and wealthy. Their daughter was called Elizabeth, and she did marry. Fun fact for anyone who lives in the Los Altos area, but Elizabeth Avenue is actually named after this Elizabeth.
Huh.
However, this is where the picture becomes hazy. Maybe because he was a traveler, there aren't any records of Jan living or working there, and certainly not dying there. However, there are records of several Swedish farmhands at the time, so it's not impossible. I realize this is a lot to take in. So thankfully, Rory, we have a recording of that TV investigation segment so we can see exactly what they did to make contact with Jan.
It's always nice to hear that, yes, some tragedy did take place on the location at which the ghost has been seen. But I'm just going to say it right now, guys. Do you know how old the Earth is? It's pretty old.
Pretty damn old.
Something bad has happened everywhere.
Every square inch.
In every corner of every room. There was probably a Victorian peasant beheaded in my bathtub.
Bad things
that's
have
a
happened
haunted location.
In my apartment just in the time that I've lived here, which is like 3 months.
We haunt our own apartments every day with our ghoulish Northern Irish faces. I think it's quite funny that we do have some history relating to the location of which this Toys R Us is located. But we definitely need stronger evidence of the fact that a tragedy took place. We need to like dig up the Toys R Us floorboards and find the bones of an ancient pharaoh. You know, we need the physical juice. So I'm glad that we're getting a bit of a look at the video investigation.
Let's see what you make of this.
Weeks ago, we did a ghost story that really got to us. So we decided to look into it further.
This seemingly normal toy store is a popular place for local kids. There are those who claim that it's a favorite haunt of a very playful ghost. It's at night, after closing time, when the toy store becomes most haunted.
Could a ghost be lurking here in this irresistible playground? A psychic named Sylvia Brown believes she made contact.
Some pretty creepy
with the ghost
shots here.
As
yeah.
He walked down the hall towards me, kept saying, "Have mercy on me, Beth. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away." There were a lot of professional camera people here, and they actually caught the person on film. And this was in the presence of oh, maybe 15, 16 people that knew that there was no one walking down that aisle at that particular time. So it was validated not only by the camera people, but by the people that were there.
Could this be the ghost that's believed to haunt the toy store? The idea of uncovering a real ghost is fascinating. Toy store employees were curious, so they did some research.
The toy store is located on the exact spot where this house once stood. It was built in the late 1800s by a prosperous settler named Martin Murphy. It was easy to guess that Murphy might be the ghost, but Sylvia Brown had a psychic sense of another name.
I kept picking up this Johnny Johnson or Johnny Johnston.
Further research revealed that a local circuit preacher sometimes lived on the Murphy farm. His name was John Johnson, and he had fallen in love with Martin Murphy's daughter, Elizabeth.
Johnson often worked on the farm to pay for his room and board. Unfortunately, Elizabeth paid little attention to him. One day while chopping wood, Johnson badly slashed his leg. We simulated the moment when, unable to move or get help, he bled to death.
Bleeding to death is, I talk to doctors that I do work with, and that's really not that painful. It's sort of a slow tiredness. So he probably doesn't even realize he is dead.
We have several letters on file from medical doctors and professors attesting to Sylvia Brown's psychic ability.
Both Sylvia and the toy store employees were...
Why are these guys, like, hugging?
This is so weird.
We thought we had to investigate further. We hired a professional photographer who knew nothing about our story. Then we held our own incredible seance.
On the night of August 5th, the seance took place. The seance members gathered in an aisle. Bill Tidwell of Alpha Photo in Oakland was in charge of photography.
Both of these cameras are 35mm single-lens reflex cameras. One of them set up with black and white infrared film. The other one set up with a very high-speed black and white film that takes pictures almost in complete darkness.
Now Sylvia makes contact with the ghost.
Okay, all right, I really feel him now. I think he's in the back. Yeah, he's beginning to walk. Yeah, now he's coming very, very quickly. Just moving along to the right, turning his head now towards me. Johnny, come, or Yanni, come towards me this way a little bit. He's got his hands in his pockets. He's looking down at his feet. Yeah, if you want to. He says if he kneels down, would it be easier for me to see him? Yes, why don't you? Do you see Beth amongst any of the people? Not now? You thought she came in with us. Okay. No, I don't know of any Beth in the group. You're thinking of Beth Murphy, the girl you loved. John, you can find Beth if you just go on to the other side. You really are caught in a time framework.
It's kind of a hard thing to explain to a ghost.
You are dead, sir.
It was nice of you to come to see us. I will come back again. Take care of yourself. May you find peace, Johnny. Yeah, he's going around the corner. That's very sad.
These photographs were taken during the time that Sylvia Brown is talking to the ghost of John Johnson. The photograph in this proof sheet was taken with infrared film at the same time the photograph on this proof sheet was taken with high-speed film. The incredible thing is that the enlarged infrared photograph shows a shadowy figure standing at the back of the picture that does not show up in the photographs taken with high-speed film. My assistant and I do not remember anyone standing in this position while Sylvia was talking to the ghost of John Johnson, and we cannot explain why a figure that appears in an infrared photograph does not appear in a photograph taken at virtually the same instant with high-speed film.
These are the photographs taken that night.
Fair play.
Now remember, Sylvia had no way of knowing what pictures the camera was taking. These two pictures were taken less than a second apart. In the first one, the aisle is empty. Then suddenly a figure appears in the second.
Now, you heard the photographer say he couldn't explain the pictures, but this ghost story is one to think about.
So, Rory, what do you think of that photographic evidence?
What year did you say this broadcast was from?
This was the late 70s, I want to say. I'd say like 78, 79, something like that.
I can't believe that a seance and an investigation that old is maybe the best I've ever seen before. That might genuinely be the best evidence towards a ghost or a spirit that I've ever seen before. I don't know if it was like the old school pacing of the presenting,
yeah,
and how it's written. Like, they're not trying to like sex it up at all. They're just like, this is what we did. This is what happened. This is what it looks like. This is what we saw.
There was many people present. None of them paid by the studio, just people who wanted to be there and see it.
That's wild. I've never seen so much convincing evidence from a ghost case before.
And to describe for the people listening, I realize it's probably frustrating to hear us seeing these images. But basically, as they said, using two different types of film, they took two photos less than 1 second apart. It shows basically people sitting on either side of a hallway and nothing in the hallway. Less than a second later, there is the figure of very clearly a tall man in the hallway.
Yeah. Have I been gone too long? Like, that's good evidence, right? Or am I just, I just forgot? Maybe I just got so numbed by paranormal cases over, like, week by week by week.
Could have been photoshopped.
Yeah, blah, blah. He's obviously lying. And as soon as I detox for 2 weeks and come back, I'm like, it's all yes. Real. Double yes from me. This is crazy.
I thought one of the cool things about that piece of evidence was that, as the host explained, Sylvia did not know what the cameras would pick up. She was in a dark room. And she said, he's walking towards us. Then she said, yeah, if it would be easier for you to kneel so that we could see you, yeah, that would be fine. And then she said he eventually walked away down the corridor or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, he didn't appear as a spider and then descended from the roof or something. Like, pretty much what she explained actually turned up on film.
Yeah. And as you said, it was all kind of broken down into departments. So it's like the guy who was in charge of photography, I mean, you heard his voice. He could not give a shit about what he was there to do. He just very like blandly was like, this is a high speed camera. This is, I guess, what, like whatever infrared or whatever he said. And I'm just going to take some pictures over here.
I mean,
he wasn't like a paranormal investigator or something.
Oh, yeah. Like, you guys couldn't see him, but he was a normal guy.
Very normal.
If he had opened his mouth and he started talking like this, we would have been in trouble, but he didn't.
Yeah. I don't know what it was like. Fair play to them. That was very convincing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Insane.
Apparently, also, 10 of the 16 people present that night for the seance reported a high-pitched buzzing noise while Sylvia was communicating with the ghost. And one other slightly interesting piece of information is that Elizabeth Murphy's family in this story in reality did endure quite a lot of tragedy after all this supposedly happened. Her whole family died pretty young, and there was a number of gas explosions in a well on their farm that killed a couple people. So I'm not saying that Jan Jonny Jonsson did it or anything, but, you know, some weird stuff happened over the years.
How many gas explosions were there?
Two,
that,
I think.
Okay, right. Like, for it to be required to be mentioned in this story, that's a lot of gas explosions.
I think the story was one person died down the well in a gas explosion, and then another person went looking for them and needed to obviously see where they were going, so lit a match in the well, and the rest is history.
Getting some real money pit vibes from this well, where a series of people all died trying to rescue people from the pit. That was a great episode. Make sure to check that one out.
Can't promise that it's a yes, but you know. Of course, when researching the paranormal, there are always two possible stories here, right? Two paths in the woods. One leads to a dark, twisted, f***ed up cave, and the other leads to, let's face it, back to the boring car park where you came from. What I'm trying to say is there's always a mundane explanation for anything that happens. In this case, some believe that there is no ghost, that there is absolutely no basis for people's stories. Instead, that it's just a legend that freaks people out, creating some kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. So when they visit the store, they see something, and then they say, "That's the ghost I've always heard about."
Right, right.
At one point, the store's director, Stephanie Lewis, said to the press, "It's very good publicity for us, but I personally don't believe in it." Is it possible that the whole story is just a way of getting people to visit the store and sell more toys?
Quite possibly, yeah. Because I guess, like, I mean, their target audience is children. This does seem like the kind of thing that children aren't quite smart enough to know the dangers of the paranormal.
Sure.
That's why in all those fables, they're always doing dumb shit. Like, making fun of witches.
Going into the cursed woods, whatever.
Going into the whatever their parents say don't do, they're basically doing it.
Yeah.
So if you hear that there's, like, a haunted Toys R Us, day one, that
that's where you're, like, going to buy your Pokemon cards.
Exactly, because you want those sweet Ghastlies and Haunters.
Yeah, that is fair. In my mind, kids are a little too young to understand the appeal of this.
Right.
But I guess those years of, like, 10 through 15, like, I guess you still want, like, kind of toys, whether it's Pokemon cards right down to, like, you know, Action Man. You want that stuff, and you are kind of into this kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah, I was trying to think when I stopped being into toys.
Yeah.
I guess I was probably quite late, probably later than people, seeing as my job pretty much now is to play with toys.
26, sure.
I used to, when I was growing up, I used to, every Christmas, my grandparents would give me and my brother and my sister Christmas money.
Sure.
And it was kind of like, it was the big treat. You know, because we weren't like a particularly wealthy family. So every Christmas you got like a bit of Christmas money from your grandparents. And every year we would do a big family trip to Toys R Us.
Wow.
And, you know, we were in Northern Ireland. So I think like going to Toys R Us was maybe like a 3-hour drive. There was maybe one.
I was going to say, I've never gone to this store.
There was like one or two in Northern Ireland. It was super far away, but you made like a whole day of it.
I think we had a Babies R Us, but no Toys R Us.
Yeah, weirdly, sadly. Yeah. And I remember towards the end of my love affair with Toys R Us,
mm-hmm.
I weirdly got super into spy toys.
Of course.
Which was like a whole thing.
Oh, like night vision goggles.
Yeah.
Stuff that has no place in a toy store, really.
No, I don't know if it was like Spy Kids, the movie, that kind of kicked all that off.
True.
But for a while, like every, I guess for like toys marketed to boys, it was all spy toys. Like in your Happy Meal, you would get like night vision goggles, which were just like binoculars with a flashlight on top.
You get a balaclava, like gloves to cover up your fingerprints. I remember
a lot
that.
Of shit you shouldn't have in Northern Ireland, by the way. It's not a good idea.
I remember that era so vividly. It was like, I remember, yeah, like playing Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell on Xbox and simultaneously like, yeah, my little brother getting like shitloads of spy toys. What a bizarre time.
I remember at one point it peaked when my entire bedroom had a laser defense motion system where if anyone entered the front door, alarms would go off. It did. It had like a motion, I guess it was like a motion pack that you would put on the door handle. So if someone moved it like the faintest bit,
the only person it would ever be is your mom. And you're like, "You're allowed, mom, because you clean my room."
Yeah, everyone was allowed in my room. There was no one that shouldn't have been there.
So I said, a perfectly good actual burglar alarm system. Like, your room wasn't doing much for the overall security of the house.
In hindsight, I can't believe my parents weren't more worried about me opening my bedroom door, alarms going off, and I'm behind my bed in a night vision goggle headset.
Your parents are just like, do you think he's smoking weed? It's like, he isn't cool enough for that shit.
God, I wish he was. Yeah, they're like in bed at night being like, do you think he's smoking weed? I don't know. Rory, are you smoking weed? You just hear the Sam Fisher night vision goggles in the corner. No, I'm doing good. All right, sure.
I'm not here. I told you. The problem with this idea of using the ghost story as publicity to sell more toys is that if that was the idea, the store went out of business 2 years ago.
Oh, no. Wait, 2 years ago was in 2018?
2018.
It had a good run.
It did have a good run. I was very curious to see if whatever business replaced the Toys R Us store also became haunted. So instead of flying to Northern California, I did the next best thing. I dropped the little yellow Google Maps Street View guy in there. I walked around the building. I zoomed in on my web browser to see if I could see any ghosts in the windows
right.
of the Toys R Us.
It's still a Toys R Us, so nothing's been built on it? It's just like now an empty Toys R Us?
There is still no business there, to my knowledge. There is just, on Google Street View, just a faded Toys R Us sign.
That is so much more creepy. Now I really want to go.
And sadly, I could not see any paranormal activity on Street View.
Damn.
So Rory, I feel like after all this investigation, we're left with a mixed bag. But at the end of the day, we do have to decide if this is truly paranormal or not. So what are you saying?
I loved this case. I don't know whether it's because we've been gone for so long or whether or not that genuinely was very convincing paranormal evidence. I don't think I've ever been on the fence so much with a case about ghosts. Usually the ghost case are the ones that I can pretty... I mean, I've tuned out within the first 5 minutes. I'm borderline asleep right after we do the intros.
That's great to know. Thanks.
Yeah, Bob. Most of your episodes, I'm just, you know, I'm on a beach in the Bahamas pretty much from the get-go.
Really?
Mentally.
Just on autopilot?
Completely zoned out.
Because you do some pretty good, like, monologues, like, bits. Some pretty, you know...
Really?
That's news to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gone until I hear...
I mean, my stories are 50% of this paranormal life, so it's quite a lot of time for you to not be mentally present.
I've actually been training with a hypnotist for the last couple of years.
Really?
So that whenever I hear the word shout-outs, I kind of snap back to reality, and I'm back in the room.
That's
and I'm ready
the
to
bit
go.
That you think you need to be mentally present for?
Well, just, you know, taking her home, landing the craft. You know, it's like flying a plane these days.
Because
you got to take
say,
off and you got to land.
Because
everywhere in between
people...
is just peanuts and tiny wines, my friend.
Because I would say that that is absolutely the least important bit of the entire episode. So your priorities are completely backwards there.
Well, luckily, I've snapped out of the trance and I'm here for the conclusion. You must have must have said something that sounded like shout outs because I pretty abruptly, almost Inception style, came to from the dream. Like I was being dunked in a cold water bath. So I'm back in the room right now, ready to conclude. The weird thing is this is a paranormal case where I love the evidence, but the actual backstory of the suffering and how the ghost got there and why he would still be here is quite two-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the times we have these much more elaborate, much more incredible stories that maybe span years or generations where the ghost appears in many forms, but then there's almost zero evidence. It's hearsay. It's all the other points of the Golden Pyramids of Truth. But in this case, we have kind of not a boring story, but it's kind of like, you know, it's nothing really extraordinary. But then we have this incredible physical evidence, which is totally flipping the script. So, man, I'm confused. I don't know where to land.
It definitely calls into question what makes a ghost story believable because...
Yeah.
There are some holes in what Sylvia's been saying. I mean, as the investigator said, they actually can't find any written evidence of the existence of Jan Jonny Jonsson. No shit. There's no evidence. But in some ways, it doesn't matter
really who the spirit of the dead man is. He might be from the other side of the world. The point is that they got some, supposedly, some evidence of photographing a ghost.
Yeah.
Does it matter which farmhand it was from the 1800s? Not really.
I mean, that's it. If a guy died because he stubbed his toe in the 1800s, it doesn't matter as long as you have a picture of him checking out Furbies in aisle 7 from the afterlife.
And in
that's
some,
a good paranormal story.
And in some ways, the story is maybe that like much more believable because this is such an incongruous location for a ghost. A Toys R Us. Between, and I quote, the Mickey Mouse plushies and the Batman toothbrushes.
I feel like I'm losing my mind, but I'm edging towards being convinced on this case that there's something paranormal going on here.
I say, fuck it. We don't give ghost stories enough of a chance. I think it's fair to say we've had a negativity bias towards the ghost story on this Paranormal Life.
Very
and
true.
Whenever we are faced with believable evidence and... what can I ask for more here? I want more believable evidence. That's not fair to these investigators. It's not fair to the people who have looked into this and written about it and told these stories for decades. So I am going on the line today to say that this is a yes. I believe there's something paranormal going on at the Toys R Us on El Camino Real in Sunnyvale, California.
F*** it. Double yes. Let's do this. As you said, you know, we can't conclude every ghost story we investigate by saying we need physical evidence, and then the one time we get physical evidence, we shit on it.
Because like that, the story would just be we don't like ghosts, we don't believe them.
Exactly.
It's not the point.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, we have a picture of a ghost here. I mean, that's pretty much as physical as the evidence gets, unless he wants to show up and slap me.
Which, I mean, he's yanking women's hair, so...
he's crossed that line before.
So what we need is for this Toys R Us in Sunnyvale to turn into some kind of other store. It doesn't really matter. It could be a Starbucks. It could be a Wendy's. It could be a sex shop. It doesn't matter. We will go. We will try and encounter this ghost firsthand.
Look, I haven't done a lot of research on the land, but if that plot is up for sale... I mean, things have been getting kind of hot recently with our current tenancy for this Paranormal Life commune. We've been looking for a new location. Haunted Toys R Us? Are you kidding me? That's the dream right there. Enough toys to last all winter? Enough ghosts?
What are we burning the toys? Why would you need more toys in winter?
It's the most boring month. It keeps everyone entertained.
I guess it is a month in California.
It'll make good presents for Christmas as well. We won't have to worry about that.
So true. It just sounds so weird.
Enough toys to last all winter. I'm just saying we should look into whether or not this land is up for grabs or down for keeps. Because if it's up for grabs, these hands are gonna get two fistfuls of Furby up in here. I want that land.
So hopefully we can acquire this plot, guys, and hopefully you will be able to join us there. Let us know what you thought of this story at thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for sending in your suggestions. That's where we get all our ideas from at the moment, so please keep sending them in. As always, you can follow us on socials as well, twitter.com/thisparalife, facebook.com/thisparanormallife. Remember to check out the Secret Society on Facebook too. It's a great place to hang out and meet other like-minded members of this Paranormal Life commune. And aside from the usual places, Twitter, Facebook, you can also find us on Reddit. If you are inclined to surf Reddit, please check out our subreddit. I believe that is just reddit.com/r/thisparanormallife.
Oh yeah. Lots of cool cats and cool kittens hanging out over there talking about the paranormal. I love it. I feel bad. I don't, they're like my secret family that I don't visit enough. And like, I'll like tune in sometimes and like see how everyone's doing, and they don't recognize old Papa anymore because I've been too busy looking at the YouTube or the Twitter or whatever it is. So second secret family, I see you and I love you.
Yeah, you know, it's the family you spend some time with, but you don't take any photos with them.
I can't take any photos with you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'd love to, you know. Junior, don't point that camera away. Point the camera away, Junior. And we don't think we've mentioned it on the podcast so far, but This Paranormal Life is also available on YouTube.
Woo!
We are now uploading the podcast not only to SoundCloud and to iTunes, Spotify, and so on, but also to YouTube. So if that's somewhere you hang out, let's face it, I know a lot of you guys, you're listening to this at work. This is maybe a handy place to catch This Paranormal Life during the week. Head on over there and subscribe to make sure you don't miss a single episode. But as always, the mothership, the final destination, I've listed so many possible destinations for This Paranormal Life. The mothership, of course, is patreon.com/thisparanormallife. This is the site that makes it all possible. This is the community who is at the front lines, machine guns in hand, facing every paranormal case head on. On patreon.com/thisparanormallife. For $5 a month, you can get access to bonus episodes, which cover the too hot for TV cases that we don't do in the normal feed. For $20, you can get a This Paranormal Life commune uniform t-shirt.
And you know, in the end, Kit and I, yeah, we're podcast hosts, but we're also basically just whoopsie poo baby dolls. You put the money in our mouths and we shit out a podcast. That's all it is at the end of the day.
And the $20, that's the special juice.
That's the special juice. And yeah, for the last week, nay month, we haven't been able to poop.
No.
But we're back in the game. We're very excited to be drinking that special juice, which I'm assuming is Lombardi. And we have a ton of great episodes being pulled out of our ass. There's probably a more gracious way to word that. That sounds a little clumsy.
I don't think there is. And at the end of every episode, we like to take the time to shout out those who've supported us on Patreon. Let's go. Thank you to Lauren Kelleher. No one tell her, but Lauren Kelleher is a stand-up gal.
Ooh, very nice. Like stand-up comedy or just like a nice person? You don't know? Is she nice or does she do performing comedy on stage?
Well, sure, a bit of both. I guess, but yeah, Lauren is a fantastic stand-up comic, but it is just technically stand-up comedy. She refuses to stand while she does it. She does the entire thing on the floor. But, You know, the lack of body language, I think, actually makes it even more special.
Highlights the jokes. I like it.
Thank you to Andrew DeForge.
May DeForge be with you, Andrew, now and always.
Thank you to Natasha Goldenberg. You've heard of a iceberg? Meet a Goldenberg.
Wow. Just a nugget of gold the size of a mountain?
You know, an iceberg sunk the Titanic. A Goldenberg could honestly sink the Earth. It might just plummet into the vacuum of space and time. It's pretty dangerous stuff. Thank you to Harry Dawson. You've heard of Dawson's Creek?
Mm-hmm.
This is Dawson's beak. Because Harry's a bird.
A bird? How does he listen to the show?
Don't birds have ears?
Do they? Well, they must, right?
I guess.
They get scared when I yell.
But not Harry. He enjoys when we yell on This Paranormal Life. Thanks for tuning in, Harry.
Where the f*** is a bird's ear?
Thank you to Ian Hall.
More like Ian Cuckall! Another bird listener. And that's right. I just got one question for you, my friend. Where are your ears? I don't have, honestly, no idea.
Don't understand how you guys are enjoying the cast this much.
Do you just put an AirPod in your beak?
It just vibrates through their skull? Hard to know. Thank you also to Antonis Theodorou. Antonis, they adore you. The people, that is. And that is because you're a kind leader.
You are.
I mean, granted, he's thrown many, many of his people into the lion pits. And the
lions gotta eat, man.
It's true. So he's kind to the lions. This is what we're saying. You know, they adore the lions. Adore you for this. Thank you also to Andrew Lubson.
Andrew Lubson, do you want to go to the pub, son? First round's on me. The other's on you, brother. Because I am fresh out of the balloons.
The rounds are on you.
Yeah, I just need to get you tipsy enough also, with round one.
Can I get an advance on the first round?
We pay for round one with his Patreon contribution. There we go.
That covered one pint we'll share. Thank you to Frida Elise Galpin. You can catch Frida Elise Galpin through the fields on any given day. Not because she's a fantastic horse rider. Sadly, she fell off the horse and got her foot tangled in the horse's straps, and she's actually just being dragged along and has been for weeks, actually. No one can slow the horse down.
Luckily, she's being dragged through, just really plentiful farms.
Right.
So she's being very well fed as she tumbles through the field. So she's managed to stay alive by just grabbing passing carrots, tomatoes.
And every couple hours, they just divert the horse into a stream. She gets a gulp of water.
A little shower. And she's having a pretty good time, actually.
Better time than I'm having. Thank you to Michael McGraw.
Michael McGraw, more like Michael Cuckaw. That's right, our third little bird.
And granted, we don't know shit about birds because we just call them all birds.
Exactly. There's like city bird, country bird, and then I think ground bird.
Wind bird, fire bird.
But my question to all the bird people out there remains, where are your ears, sir?
Thank you to Hillary Corduff.
They call her Hillary Capillary because she is a vampire who loves that blood, my friend.
Jeez.
Exactly. Every bite is the perfect location. Sometimes bad vampires gotta chomp down a couple times, you know, and try and find...
Oh, she's like a sniper, a technician. She knows where to go.
She's got a red dot sight strapped to her chin, so she hits it every time.
You know, you can hear her coming because of the Tom Clancy. Thank you to Maddie Hansen. Maddie Hansen is mighty handsome. You know the way they say handsome people are a dish?
Yes.
Maddie's a literal dish.
Oh.
A literal plate, a serving tray of some kind.
So not even food.
No.
Just the plate.
The actual serving mechanism.
They're a plate.
That is right. They are a plate of a person.
Where are your ears?
Thank you to Holly Clark.
Holly Clark, she is a spark in the dark. That is right. Holly herself is a firework. She spends most of her life dormant, but the second she moves, she explodes. But boy, is it beautiful. What a sight. She might actually not be around to hear this, because last time I talked to her, I just lit the fuse and walked away. So Holly,
That seems rude. Because
sometimes, she needs a little push in life to get going. Holly, I hope you had a good show. Glad you're enjoying the podcast.
Thank you also to Tabitha Capitz.
Oh, crap it, Tabitha. That's what everyone says.
That's really rude, actually.
When she writes, they go, oh, crap, it's Tabitha. Because Tabitha is that person in the group that just spoils everything. Game of Thrones, Star Wars, you know?
Okay, like, all its shows.
They're just like, I've seen it, and this is how it ends.
But also life, you know, she'll be like, hey, I died for a few seconds once, I know what happens.
Oh, come on, Tabitha.
No spoilers.
Is there an afterlife? No. No. Worm food. Oh, come on, Tabitha.
Which is actually what she said about Game of Thrones as well. They were like, does Jon Snow come back?
No.
Worm food. Well, she was wrong. He came back, didn't he? Thank you to Jenna Kate. Jenna Kate, the dinner plate. That's right, another dish.
What?
Literal plate of a person on Patreon. Don't know how that happened.
Two plates and no food? Welcome to the paranormal commune.
this paranormal life commune version of two girls, one cup, two plates, no food.
Two plates, no eggs. The least sexy version.
That's the porn available in the commune. Because even in the commune, there are no dreams. There are no fantasies. Thank you to David Webb.
David, I hope you don't get caught in your web, aka your nest, you little bird bastard. I hope you're enjoying the show. I hope that you're, you know, what do birds do? Don't they like chew stuff up and put it in their little birds' mouths? With
yeah,
worms,
exactly
do that. I hope you're doing that, but with our podcast, to your baby birds, just spreading it down the line. We appreciate it.
Thank you to Alexander. Alexander likes to wander, but don't wander too far, Alexander, because you get in dangerously close to this paranormal life master quarters of the commune, and we wouldn't want you to... Listen, we wouldn't want you to, you know, to... how is best to say this? Get above your station in life. Because
that was a bad way to say that. It shouldn't have been the best way.
to say that.
How do I put this kindly in a way that is inclusive to the commune? You are a peasant, Alexander, and you are wandering towards the king's quarters.
It's a little aggressive. Let's slow this down. You're right. A valued member of the Alexander. You're a valued member of the commune, where we are all equal. So make sure to.
Well, some are a little
that.
More equal than others, granted, course, because yeah. why would we have the giant beds and master quarters if not for there being some difference in equality?
Okay, yeah, sure, fair enough. And he was wandering a little close to the tower of the commune, which guards the two plates where no peasants are allowed near.
Because the day that food returns to the commune, we want plates to be ready. Thank you to J.R. Wilson. Well, if it isn't J.R., the A.R. Wilson. This guy is a crack shot with an assault rifle and just the kind of guy we need around the commune, actually, to keep people away from the tower where we keep, I cannot stress enough, keep the two existing plates. Listen, no, he's not going to need the assault rifle because no one's going to wander that close.
Because we don't have any food. So no one needs the plates right now. But there will come a day.
But JR, you're going to need to stockpile a little ammunition, sure, because the food will eventually come. Thank you, lastly but not leastly, to Zach Kingslayer.
We'll get this son of a bitch out of my commune. Kingslayer is his second name? And yes, of course, yeah, yada, yada, yada. I said paranormal commune where we're all equals and no one's the king. But technically, legally, I am a king.
On paper? Sure.
For sure. This crown isn't made of wood. It's made of gold and two plates. That's right. I have taken the plates and I have...
You're not in this. The tower is a decoy at this point.
So I don't need to be killed. I don't need anyone taking my plate hat.
Everyone's like, Roy, no one believed they were ever in the tower. We can see the plates on your head. Thank you to everyone we have shouted out and everyone we are yet to shout out. We are getting through our list of shout outs slowly but surely. Thanks for sticking with us. We will be back next week, of course, with a brand new paranormal tale. Until then, see you next week.
Bye bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.